brethren, I'm reading from Philippians 4, 5, 8. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Just to read a setting like this brings great joy to our hearts. Let your moderation, reasonableness, would be the proper translation, be known unto all men. Be careful for nothing, or a better translation is, be anxious for nothing. Don't have too much anxious care. Then the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And this, of course, will mean wisdom on our part. Proverbs 3:13 we read, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. It is more precious than rubies or fine gold. Yes, this would be spiritual mindedness or consecrated thinking, to earnestly strive to get this wisdom that comes from above. Yes, in Colossians 3:15-16 we read, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Peace of God, yes, rule in your hearts, and be ye thankful. And let the words of Christ dwell in your hearts in all wisdom. How beautiful these expressions are to the consecrated child of God. Now, I thought for a little while we would use a few Old Testament settings and prophecies that would strengthen us along this line of consecrated thinking, spiritual mindedness. There's one that I want to call to mind, friends, in Joshua 24:15. Now therefore, fear, reverence the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Now see how beautiful that applies to you and I, down here at the end of the age. To reverence the Lord and to serve him in sincerity and truth. That's the 14th verse. We couldn't serve the Lord in sincerity and truth unless we had the truth, could we? But we have the truth. Now let us do that. And he said to the house of Israel, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And those Israelites were still serving those giants, those gods that were before the flood. Then he said, and if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, I'm going to serve the Lord. That's Joshua's thought. He said, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so, friends, it is with us. We can truthfully say that we reverence and serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. Now I want to turn to the prophecy of Isaiah, 6th chapter. It's a wonderful prophecy that will take place at the end of the age. And those that are serving the Lord today, they're using wisdom. And it is because their hearts are filled with the wisdom that comes from above. Isaiah said in the 6th chapter of Isaiah, beginning of the first verse, in the year that King Uzziah died, King Uzziah was a good king, highly spoken of. We're not going to discourse on that. But he said, in the year that he died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train, a body, should have been translated, filled the temple. This is beautiful, friends, when you think about it. The prophet Isaiah 4,000 years ago saw the vision. That which you and I see today, the Lord Jesus upon the throne and his body, his bride with him. Isn't that what brings a great joy to our hearts? Isn't that what brought us in the truth? Isn't that the vision? Isn't that the vision that Paul saw? And quick as one sees that vision, friends, their hearts filled with joy and happiness. And then, Isaiah said, do. In the third verse, he said not merely that he saw the Lord sitting upon the throne high and lofty and his body with him, Lord Jesus' bride, but he said the whole earth filled with the glory of God. Now, isn't that the vision? Isn't that the very thing that we see too? He saw that 4,000 years ago. That's the vision. That's the plan of God, friends. The plan of the ages. And you and I have that vision. That's the sealing. Each one of us are sealed in our forehead. Revelation 7:3. We're sealed in our forehead with an intellectual appreciation of God's plans and purposes. We see the vision. You know, there's thousands of people who read that and never saw a thing. I've read it many times when I was back in Babylon, but I never saw a thing. But oh, how beautiful it is. One of the angels cried, seraphims, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with the glory of God. Holy, holy, holy. That's the beautiful hymn we sing, and it came from that verse. This is the Lord God Almighty. It came from that very verse, way back there in the 6th chapter of Isaiah. Then the prophet Isaiah standing there, and he saw this vision, and he quickly said, the fifth verse, woe unto me, for I am undone, because I am a clean, unclean man, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King in glory. I'm undone. Oh, how often we hear that today. I'm not worthy. I'm undone. What could the Lord do with me? Poor prophet Isaiah. Show me this great vision, a man like me. And don't you say that sometimes? Truth came to me and I wonder why. I'm not worthy of this thing. We hear it all the time, don't we? That's the way that Isaiah felt back there, too. Just that way. Woe unto me because I'm undone. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. People come out, they'll hear a chart talk and show the plan of God. The Lord sitting upon the throne, his bride with him, and the earth filled with the glory of God, the kingdom established. And many times he'll go home and say, well, well, the Lord showed me this thing, but why? Woe unto me, why? Well, the Lord did something for Isaiah. The Lord heard him. The Lord then took one of the seraphims, one of the angels, and a live coal of fire in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. Her tongs took a live coal of fire off the altar. And what did he do with it? Put it on Isaiah's lips, his mouth. Pretty rough, wasn't it? Well, it's all figurative, symbolic expression. Applies to you and me. And I heard, and he laid it upon my mouth. And he said to me, lo, this has touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. through fire. Now, friends, you remember when you first embraced the truth, and some of you who are now embracing the truth probably have those very serious experiences today. What are they? Fiery experiences. The Lord wants us to have them, friends. He did it back there with Isaiah. That's why Peter said, "Think it not strange, the fire that the Diaclet says, think it not strange, the fire that shall be among you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you, but rejoice. Rejoice inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, drawing one, bringing them to this relationship with him, so they might become partakers, part of Christ's suffering, through fiery experiences." That's the picture. And that's exactly what has taken place with each one of us. That's right. He put it upon my lips, my mouth. And he said, "Your sins are purged, and your sins are forgiven." Here's where fire cleanses. Sometimes fire, the picture of destruction. Sometimes fire, the symbol of cleansing, and then again fire is a symbol of blessing. Could be a symbol of blessing, couldn't it? That's what St. Paul said. You'd heap coals of fire on our enemy's head. That would be a blessing, wouldn't it? Of course it would. Don't render evil for evil. No, no. These experiences, friends, the fiery experiences we'd have to have in order to bring us into this relationship with God. Then he said, "I heard the voice of the Lord saying," and there stood Isaiah, and the Lord said, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" That came to us too, didn't it? What are we going to do about it now? The truth came to us. We see the vision, the Lord sitting upon the throne and his bride with him, and the whole earth shall be filled with the glory of God. Now what are we going to do about it? Well, the Lord says, "Now who shall I send?" Well, tell others about it. Who shall I send? There stood poor Isaiah. Lips was cleansed now. Sins were purged. What did Isaiah say? "Here am I, send me." Now, didn't we do the same thing? Why, sure, we give up our hearts to the Lord. And then we had the same thought in mind. "Now, Lord, what do you want me to do? Here am I, send me." That's it, friends. And the Lord says, "And go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand that." What's that, Lord? You want me to tell the people to hear and understand not? That's right. Well, what's the use of going? What's the use of going and telling the people? Read it again. And he said, God said to Isaiah, "Go tell the people, hear ye indeed, and but understood not, and see ye indeed, but perceived not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts and be converted." Well, Lord, you don't want them even to be converted. That's right. You want the message to shut their eyes and their ears. That's right. And still you want me to go. Now, don't we say that too? What's the use of going? How often we say that? Put on a public meeting and nobody comes. Brother, what's the use? Let's quit. Now, that isn't it. Don't do it. Don't you do it. I remember in Indiana, a letter from the Bible House, Don, wanted me to go to a certain city, a good-sized city, had a large YMCA, to give a public talk. Well, they sent 500 invitations from the Don, from the Frank and Ernest brethren, inviting these people to come out to hear the lecture. Special invitation to 500 that were listening to Frank and Ernest. Besides that, I went over there and helped the brother put out 9,000 cards. Put some articles in the paper and announced it twice over the air in connection with Frank and Ernest's program about this meeting. Beautiful chapel in the YMCA. beautiful day like today. And you know, I went over quite early, and some of the friends there said, well, we'll have to get more chairs. We haven't chairs enough. I said, I think so. Oh, no, we'd ought to have several hundred people out here. We had about 60 to 75 chairs. Oh, I said, you'll have enough. No, they, I insisted there was going to get more chairs. Well, I said, there's another hall right next door. All we have to do is open the door. The custodian told me, we can get all the chairs we want. Let us wait and see. Well, that kind of held them back a little bit. So it came close to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And you know the brothers, a couple of brethren that were there, there was only just a few. They were getting so excited. People were rushing in the place. I knew it. I knew it. And finally it came 3 o'clock, and we waited 5 minutes after 3. And how many suppose there were out? 4. Well, now, poor Isaiah, no use, never have any more. Isn't that the way it goes? 4,000 years ago, the Lord told us that, and we didn't see it. Right here it is. That's just what's taking place. Still go? Yes, go and tell the people. When you tell them, why, that's wonderful. Wonderful, most wonderful thing I ever saw. When they see persecution and goodbye, they never come back. It shuts their eyes because they're not ready for it. But my dearly beloved, there was one brother come out. It is worth all their while. The angels in heaven would rejoice over that one. Jesus said so. Fully consecrated to the Lord now, and oh, what a servant of the Lord. Just the one worth all their while. And that was the one the Lord was drawing. He didn't care for the rest of the whole town. Don't want them now, you'll get them after a while. After a while, you'll get them. You remember the parable? The Lord Jesus says to gather the fish over here, the one kind, goldfish. How about all the rest of the fish? I'll throw them back in the sea. What's the sea of the world? Let them swim around. That's what they're doing today. Have a good time. He isn't drawing them, but he'll get them after a while. All kinds of fish, bullheads, catfish, sunfish, pickles, and trout, all kinds. But he didn't want them. He wanted the one kind, sunfish, we'll say, or goldfish, his bride. That's it, friends. One here and one there, and all this work for one or two, until he has his bride. One man came to me after the meeting, and he said, after was discussing this, he said, if that was in the New Testament, I'd believe it. Well, I said, it's there, all right. Let me take your Bible. We turn to Mark 4, 11 and 12, and there are the words of Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, the mystery of the kingdom is given unto you, but those that are without it is not given to know. I speak unto them in parables, lest they perceive and understand and be converted, and their sins be forgiven. He didn't want them to be converted. Why can't we understand plain English? Jesus told us that. Right from this chapter, from the 6th chapter of Isaiah, Jesus quoting. But he said to go and tell his people, tell them anyway, and you'll find one here and one there, and after a while he'll have the bride complete. He'll get all the rest. Don't worry about them. They'll all come. But that isn't all. Look. Go and tell the people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See indeed, but perceive not. I think by that time Isaiah was ready to sit down, don't you? That's the way we feel sometimes. Right. Lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and be converted and be healed. He didn't want them to be healed yet. It isn't time. Then said Isaiah something again. Isaiah said to him, Lord, how long? Now, how don't we say that too? All the time. We'll say, well, now, come here, brother. I'm glad you come. Sit right down there. Now, how long is this thing going to last? I hear that all over from coast to coast. I don't blame the friends. They all want to know, how much longer How long? How long have we got to keep on doing this? We have it right there in the Old Testament. Isaiah said that too. He said, how long, O Lord? Now you will see. If only God would have answered. He did. He did answer, yes. Well, what did he say? Well, listen. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered and said, until the cities be wasted and without inhabitant, and the houses without a man. Well, what does it mean? Well, you and I know the Bible is symbolic, a book of symbols, symbolic expressions. Now, let's look at that first part. Cities. What do we know about a city? Well, we've learned that in the book of Revelation, the Lord took us up in the Spirit, and he showed us the golden city, the divine government. What is it? The bride, the Lamb's wife. Oh, I see. Symbolic, isn't it? Symbolic expression. The golden city will come down from God out of heaven, adorned as a bride, the bride, the bride, husband, the husband. There it is. That's the golden city. That's right. Well, what is it made up of? All these little cities, little ecclesias, little classes. One here in Buffalo. One over there. One over there. And after a while, all these cities will make up the great golden city. The Lord Jesus and his bride. The Lamb's wife. Is that right? Yes. But the Bible speaks of another city. And what's that? The city of Babylon. Oh, that's great, isn't it? Yeah, it's great, Babylon. Political, financial, ecclesiastical, the whole outfit is all Babylon. What does Babylon mean? Confusion. And what's confusion? Babylon. And what's Babylon? Confusion. The whole world is in confusion, isn't it? Yeah. The great city of Babylon is made up of what? Of all these little cities. About 256 different denominations, mother and the daughters. That's Babylon. That's Babylon. Until what, Lord? These cities, Babylon, be wasted and without inhabitant. That's how long you want me to preach? That's right. Until Babylon goes down. You remember what the Revelator said in Revelation 18th chapter? About Babylon the Great, it'd be lifted up, way up, sky high. The angel would lift it way up. It couldn't come down till it's lifted way up, could it? Then it'll be cast down like a millstone cast into the sea, never, never to return. Well, how long, O Lord? When? Well, when it's lifted up. My dearly beloved, this is the time that you and I have been looking for, all Bible students, ever since I come in the truth. We're waiting for the day that we're living in today. Now you can clap your hands, shout, stomp your feet. Why? Babylon's way up there. Do you know between Boston and Chicago, it's all solid Catholic? That's right. Commentators, newspapers, mayors, chief of the police, 84% of the police in New York are Catholic. Up, 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 building churches, filling them up. How about the daughters? Four or five churches in every little town, building new ones, crowding with the people. Good. Clap your hands, stomp your feet. That's what we wanted to see. Isn't that? Isn't that the thing? Oh, yes. And it's about there now. How much higher can we go? Financially or any other way? And when it's up there, it's going to come down. Like a millstone cast into the sea, never, never to return. Goodbye, Babylon. See, and how it'd be cast down, it says right there in the 18th chapter of Revelation, with violence. Starting revolution here, violence there.
See that? One of these days it'll go down, never come back. Don't worry about it, but keep on preaching. Don't stop until the city goes down. And the houses without a man, church houses, they'll all be empty. And that goes down, won't it? And you're going to see that? So am I. Unless we should pass away very soon. We're seeing it now, aren't we? He told them, there it is. It's in the Bible, but it's been covered up. All these things have been there all the time, only they were covered up. When it comes time for their fulfillment, we see it clear. We were talking about it, I believe, this morning, last night, over the brother, just junkie, how that the thing is going up, up, up. Do you see it everywhere? Let them go. Let them go. Let them fill it up. Fill her up. The quicker the better. The sooner it'll come down. Right? It's in your Bible. That's the scripture. Couldn't be no other way. How is it going to go down? The Lord knows how it's going to bring about the violence. Will it be a war? I don't know. He didn't tell me. With all these atomic bombs, yeah. They may use them, they may not. I don't know. God has a way. The Lord has a way. May come through a financial crash. The whole stock market's trembling all the time. May come that way. Let's wait and see. But let us keep on preaching. Don't stop. That's what the Lord is interested in. And you'll find one here and one there. And then think of all that through the radio work are now seeking meekness and seeking righteousness. And many of them will be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Think of a 500,000 watt station in India. Reaches all of Asia. And goes to Palestine, to Jerusalem, as clear as a bell. We often wondered how we're going to broadcast in Jerusalem. It's there now, once a week. And as a result of that, in Italy, we've got 50 classes organized over there. And two pilgrims. Brother Caparata told me that he served 35 of the classes himself. We never could get into Italy, but now, Monte Carlo, there's that 100,000 watt station. Almost under the folks' nose, he can hear it every Sunday. Why didn't he stop it? Because God wants it on the air. That's why. Wonderful day you're living in, friends. Wonderful. How could people seek meekness and seek righteousness so that the Lord could hide them in the day of his anger unless the wise virgin class preached to them? Who's doing this work? The wise virgin class. Aren't we back on the radio? Of course. Of course we are. That's God's method. We're preaching to these people. With that 500,000 watt station reaches all of Poland, all of Germany, goes into England, clears a bell. 80 million people can listen to it if they want it. Well, if we get 1 million, that would be a great congregation, wouldn't it? And then think of all the other stations in the air. That's God's method, friends. Yes, and one of these days it'll go down like a millstone cast into the sea, never to return. I think you see that with me. Now, this has been there all the time, 4,000 years. Sixth chapter of Isaiah. Think of all the wonderful prophecies we have. My time expired already. 30. Now, let me call to mind a few things, friends. Here's one that we were talking about this morning, and some of you testified along that line. Psalms 141, 3 to 5. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips. Oh, that's what we should pray for. Keep the door of our lips. The less we say, the better it be. Is that right? Incline not my heart to any evil thing, O Lord, to practice wicked works with the men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. I don't want to even want to eat with them. Don't even eat with them, the Lord said. That's right. Stay away from them. Then he quickly said, let the righteous smite me. Who are the righteous? The brethren in the truth. They're covered with a robe of righteousness, aren't they? Yes. What did he say? Let the righteous smite me. Sometime a brother and a sister say something that hurts, smites you, that hurts very much. Yes, the Lord said, let them do that. You need it. Why? It shall be a kindness unto me. And let him reprove me. Someone reprove you? Yes. You going to fight back? No. It shall be an excellent oil, just like a holy anointing oil on your head, which shall not break my head. If someone says something to us and our heads are broken and we fly up, why, then it didn't do no good. It'll have to come back again some other way. Let us learn the lesson. The Lord, friends, is developing us for the next stage. Just think of the whole human family. It'll have to be taken care of. What will it require? A merciful, full of mercy, merciful high priest, the Lord Jesus and his bride, to handle a human family, to extend mercy and pity and compassion to all of these people. The Lord wants us to learn the lesson now. We learn these lessons now, friends, then he can use us in the next stage to bless all of the nations and all of the families of the earth. That's why he's selecting this world's great high priest. And think how long it's taken the whole gospel age to find, select, and create a new creation. They're not quite complete yet. One comes here and one there. I had wonderful blessings up in Canada this summer during the month of July. Brethren there too. One here and there, one there comes. And oh, what rejoicing when one or two come. How grand it is. It brings joy to our hearts, friends. That's the way it is all from coast to coast in all over continental Europe. Now you say all these 50 classes in Italy, are they all body members of Christ? No. No, there's one or two probably consecrated in the class, that's all. How about all the rest? To seek meekness and seek righteousness. And the Lord promised to hide them in the day of his anger, take them over into the kingdom. Wonderful work, isn't it? That's the work we're doing, chiefly through the radio. And then some of us have the time to go visit these folks, let's do it. That's why you have your morning text, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. For he has anointed me before to preach good tidings of good to who? To go down the street and ram it down everybody's throat? No, he didn't say that. Preach good tidings of good to the meek. The meek. They're meek enough to write in for a piece of literature and write for another piece and another piece. Let us get those names. They're the meek. And Jesus said, they're the ones to visit and bind up their brokenhearted. Didn't he say that? To preach good tidings of good to the meek. I think somebody hadn't paid no attention to that. They go from door to door and want to ram it down everybody's throat and it don't work. Never did work. Millions and carloads of books sold to the people. Where do they go to? In the junk. They didn't do no good. You and I, friends, see the truth. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. It's upon you. For he's anointed me. What for? To preach good tidings of good to the meek. Let's find some of the meek that are willing to listen. Have a hearing ear. And there's many of them. Of all the names that come in. That's the class. That's the class, friends. Yes. St. Paul said, Philippians 4:1, my brethren, he's addressing you and me, dearly beloved, my dear brethren, my longed for,
my joy and my crown. Stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. What an admonition. I couldn't give anything greater than that this morning. St. Paul gave you that. And what did he call them? My joy and my crown. They were his joy, yes, even though they'd smite him and say things against him. That's right. My joy and my crown. The joy of the Lord is the strength of his people. The more joy you have of the Lord, the truth, the stronger you are. The less joy you have of the Lord, the weaker you are. Let us have that joy, friends, of the Lord. Then we'll be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Then, he says, stand fast, my dearly beloved. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Isaiah 26:3. A mind should be stayed upon the Lord, upon the truth, upon Christ. And then the Lord can keep us in perfect peace. He can keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed upon him. Philippians 1:27-29. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. What should we talk about? What should we say? The gospel of Christ. That's the good thing to talk about. That's what the Lord wants to talk about. And he said, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Good, isn't it? Stand fast, brethren, in one spirit. Stand fast in one mind, striving for the faith of the gospel. And you know, St. Paul made something that was plain. The 6th chapter of Ephesians, 19th and 20th verses, he said there that he was a bond slave. What for? The mystery of the gospel of Christ. Oh, there's a mystery of the gospel of Christ. You ever hear a sermon on the mystery of the gospel? No, we always used to hear the full gospel, they called it, and the gospel, but never the mystery of the gospel. Now, you and I can preach the mystery of the gospel, and what's that? The selection of the bride during the gospel age. They don't know a thing about that. That's what we're preaching, aren't we? That's right. And let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And we tell the people about the mystery of the gospel, how he's selecting the bride, and then how he's going to bless all the families of the earth. First thing you know, we're telling them of Isaiah's vision, the Lord Jesus and his bride upon the throne, and the whole earth filled with the glory of God. That's the vision. Don't ever lose that vision. Keep it up. Then Paul said, now, that when I come, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the gospel of Christ Jesus. Beautiful, isn't it, friends? And you know, when I read this text, I used that 8th verse. Finally, now we've come to the finale. It's a finale thing. Just like a great melodrama, soon the bride will be complete and the marriage will take place. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, think of the things that are true, yes. Things that are true. Think of the things that are honest, yes. But look at the dishonesty in the earth. Don't think about it. It's there. The earth's filled with corruption. But let's keep our minds from it. Don't think about it. Only the things that are honest. things that are just,
yes. Think of the injustice.
No, we're not going to think of that. We're going to think of the things that are just, aren't we? The earth is filled with injustice, iniquity, unrighteousness, envy, jealousy, hatred, murder, and war. But we're going to think on the things that are pure, not the impurities. We'd spend all our time, if we want to do that, couldn't we? But we can spend all our time thinking about the things that are pure, the higher things, the nobler things. And think about the things that are lovely, Paul said. And we have a right to do that. There's many lovely things upon this earth, isn't there, that we can think about? And you have a right to think about the lovely times of restitution for the human family. Because if we're faithful unto death, we'll dispense the restitution blessings to mankind. Then you will say it's more blessed to give than to receive. Some say, oh, I'll wait till the times of restitution and receive restitution. Well, the Lord will fulfill the desire of their heart. But isn't it more blessed to give than to receive? More blessed to give restitution blessing to all our friends in the human family? We can think of those things because they're so lovely. Think of the lovely character of our Heavenly Father. Justice, wisdom, love, and power. My dearly beloved, you can think and think and think some more to all millennium. Never get through thinking. If you think upon the character of the Lord Jesus, the character of our Heavenly Father, think about His miracles. Wonderful, wonderful. Think about all the parables. Think how He healed the blind man. The blind man. On one occasion how He stooped down and took some dust, made a spittle, and He opened the blind man's eyes. Wonderful. Well, friends, you can lay in bed and think of that. Wasn't that marvelous? Well, He didn't have to do that, did He? No. He could heal the blind eyes. He did, some, without making a spittle. But why did He make a spittle of the dust of the earth? Because of you, because of me. Didn't He say, greater things than these shall ye do? Yes. Well, are you willing to be the dust? He'll stoop down, take you of the dust, give you the truth, and you can open the blind man's eyes. You couldn't unless you were the dust. You couldn't unless you were had the truth. Then He'll use you to open the blind man's eyes. They're all blind, all around us. We're just willing to be the dust. And we'll sing to the top of our voice, oh, to be nothing, nothing, only to lie at His feet. Lo, in the dust I would lay me, that the world my shade or my feet. Do we believe? That's it. In the dust. That's what Jesus was trying to teach us. To be the feet of Him. That's where the feet members are today, at the feet of Jesus, in the dust. And He wants us to be humble and use us to open blind eyes. Then if you suffer, that's suffering for righteousness. If you get a headache or a backache or something and doing it, that's suffering for righteousness. But oh, how many people suffer for their own foolishness and own nonsense? That isn't suffering with Christ. No. To suffer with Christ means to suffer for righteousness. Just such things. Tell others about the truth and then be persecuted for it. That's the thing, friends. That's the things that count. But oh, think of the lovely things that you and I can enjoy and have, talk about, and think about. Things that are lovely, things that are of good report. That's the text. Let your moderation be known unto all men. And don't be anxious. Don't be too anxious, no. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then as you see these things taking place in the earth, cry peace, peace, peace and safety. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman and a child, one birth pang after another, one birth. Still, the kingdom hasn't come yet, has it? No. There's going to be a last birth pang, no brother. When that last birth pang comes, that'll bring the birth of the kingdom, won't it? As travail upon a woman with child. I don't think the last birth pang is very far, and then Babylon will be gone. And oh, what peace and joy and happiness will be upon this earth for the human family. The deliverance will come. Yes, deliverance not only for ourselves, but deliverance for the great multitude. Yes, deliverance for the human family. And friends, I don't believe it's too far off. As you look and see about the signs, the times, and the conditions, see how they've gathered around Israel today, just as the Bible foretold. See how they've gone back there in unbelief, just as the Bible foretold. Everything is just coming on time. Well, why didn't it come in 1914? Because 1914 ended the Gentile towns, but we had a whole lot of things that we wanted to put in there and didn't belong there. We didn't put them in the right place, that's all. Everything is all right and coming out all right, only we didn't put things in the right place. It'll come out all right. Everything will be all right, friends. The kingdom, well, bless your heart, look at all the kingdom blessings around us. Look at this thing here, those things. Push button. Everything is push button today. All but the scientists. I wish they'd push that button up there so you can see, but they're so blind they can't see. Doesn't time you. After a while, the Lord will push the button and then they'll see. Push button age, isn't it? Getting brighter, brighter, brighter all the time, isn't it? Why? The presence of Christ. He's going to be present for 1,000 years. We get brighter and brighter all the time. Too bad we've got to have the great time of trouble in the midst of it, but it can't take place unless it comes. Why? This great obstruction, Babylon, has got to be removed. That's what's holding it. That obstruction. It's got to go. When that goes, and that's gone, then, friends, the blessings can flow to the human family. But not until that obstruction is destroyed. And the Lord promised He'd destroy it, and He will. And set the people free. The systems have got to go. It's the systems that will be destroyed. Then a righteous kingdom established in glory and in great power. The very thing that Isaiah saw. Now you see it. Don't lose it, friends. Let us hold fast to it. It's the vision. And may the Lord add His blessing. Thank you for your kind, good attention.
I know, friends, that we have been richly blessed this morning, and those that were able to get out Friday night have now been thrice richly blessed. And I know that each and every one of us, our prayers go with Brother Zano and his pilgrim work. Next Sunday will be a regular study Sunday. We haven't a schedule made up yet because Brother Yonke hasn't heard from Brother Ostrander. So next Sunday will be a regular study Sunday. Now shall we close with the use of hymn number 8.
came together here in the dear ones, like precious faith. I pray thy rich and divine blessing to rest upon each one here, each home that's represented here. Thank you for the truth and the light that shines so clearly upon our pathway, for these things which thou hast been pleased to give us here at the end of the age, that we may have an understanding of this great vision. We thank you for it, and as we see, Father, the shaping of things upon this earth for the establishment of thy glorious kingdom, we can intelligently and sincerely and honestly pray, Lord, may thy kingdom come. May thy will be done in our mortal bodies, and may thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, Father, would thou bless thy people throughout the lengths and the breadth of the earth. Bless all that are willing to disseminate the truth, the herald forth, the message of the kingdom. And we pray, Father, we may have strength and grace, that thy spirit may be upon us, that we may preach, talk and encourage and comfort the brokenhearted, all that are meek enough to listen and hear the message. We pray that divine blessing upon all that are willing to serve in any way, in any capacity. Bless the sick and afflicted, the poor and the needy, and bless all that love thee and worship thee. Now accept our thanks for this visit we've had with these dear friends, our fellowship, and may it all redound to thy name's honor and glory. Keep us in thy eternal love, dear Father, until we can meet again. And we ask it all and thank thee in Jesus' holy name. Amen.